All right. Hey, welcome back to the podcast. I'm sorry we missed last week because Raymond was in Tennessee.
Ugh, Tennessee.
Yeah. Did you hear any good music while you're down there?
Yes.
Yeah.
So Dollywood's amazing. I love Dollywood. We went to like this gospel show. The cool thing about Dollywood, everything's Christian there. People share in the gospel like on every stage. And there was a deaf singer and she was like sharing the gospel. It was pretty cool. Very refreshing. And then like the whole Dollywood area is just like, I was there like 10 or Pigeon Forge area. I was in there like 10 years ago. It's kind of ghetto, but now, man, it's like super, super nice.
Yeah. My parents actually go to, I think, Pigeon Forge quite a bit there. We got family friends that have cabins down there, so they'll go and stay. And we went last year, except the hills are not fun. Like going to the cabins.
Oh, like, yeah.
I don't remember who it was. It was one of our kids like ended up throwing up. Really? It sucked too. Cause we were almost there. Like we were five minutes from the cabin going through the weeding. And it's like, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. It's like, you're fine. You're fine. Like, let's just get you in the bath. It's okay.
There's a mountain called Big Bear in California.
Yeah. It's well, like, Big Bear's there too. Yeah.
No, there's another. Yeah. Yeah. And it's very, very windy. The kids would always get sick, but yeah. It was good. First time the whole family was together in quite a while, but
yeah,
you know, I'm happy to be back. My mind was here a lot, so it was just kind of like, you know, there's a lot of good momentum.
Yeah, sorry about that. No, I was like texting you too. Yeah.
There's just a lot of good momentum happening. Like Wednesday nights are popping off. It's going fun.
Yeah.
And I was really sad to miss that, you know, but, so if you're not in a group or you're interested in what your next step is here at Cross Church, I would encourage you to come 5:15, get a killer meal for like $7. We were just discussing how much food is right now for families. We could eat for $20, you know, can't do that anywhere. And it's basically cost, you know, we're just charging cost. So that's nice. And the ladies are just gracious to cook for us. And then worship's great, and from what I hear, Bobby was just crushing it.
And so just awful. It was horrible.
Crushing it. Crushing spirits. No.
Yeah. Well, and we had lasagna last week. I think this week is like tacos, and then next week after this will air, I'm not sure what we're having, but
yeah, filet mignon.
It's usually good. Yeah. Yeah. Ladies. That'd be awesome. Like, have like a...
Who's got a cow they want to give us?
Yeah, there you go.
I know some of you got cows.
Yeah.
But yeah, so it's great. And this week, I don't know what we're studying on Wednesday night. Last week, we studied spiritual gifts. Week before that, connection and consumption, the difference between the two. But yeah, it's gonna be fun. So, but we talked about Sunday, well, I guess we're two behind, aren't we?
So we missed last week because you were gone. We just didn't even think about filming before. So what was that week? Was that
Drop the mic.
Yeah.
How you use your voice for influence and all that kind of stuff. And then we can kind of continue that thought into wisdom. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. But sometimes the mouth speaks what the mind is full of. And if we're filling our minds with worldly wisdom, the message title was contemptible wisdom, you know, jealousy, selfish ambition, all that kind of stuff. Then you're going to be saying things that are contrary to what God's wisdom is. And, yeah.
Yeah. I feel like of all the messages, I feel like Drop the Mic is probably the most relevant. Mm-hmm. For us, just in the sense of like your influence at this point is your currency, I feel like, you know.
Yeah, it really is, isn't it?
Like
yeah.
in our current culture, like and it's sometimes it goes the opposite in a bad way too, because people want to use you because of your influence. Or you know, you use your influence for bad, like not for good. Mm-hmm. And you know, you use your your influence to take advantage of people, not to build them up. Like, and I feel like all of that, like the, cause you have obviously the conversation of the tongue, because what you say has influence, whether good or bad. But also what you say can influence others to do good or bad as mm-hmm. well.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, that's very true. And so he starts off with not many of you should become teachers. And then what he's really getting at is not many of you should desire to teach, to influence people toward thinking you're someone to be celebrated, because he goes, actually, it's quite the opposite. You'll be judged more harshly. And he talks about all the issues when we open our mouth. And then he says, but if you're wise, which it's the same word in Greek used for teacher, just a different, you know, how we say instructor or teacher, different word. So the through line is not many of you should become teachers because of all these issues when you talk. And if you think you're wise, in other words, if you think that you're capable of teaching, just show it, you know, by the way you live. Mm. And by the way, wisdom that is of God is not jealous. Wisdom that is of God is not self-serving, which also plays off of the, I want influence, you know. He's like, no, it's not self-serving. And so I drew the graph of the Dunning-Kruger graph, which is, you know, low experience, high confidence. And then the more competent you get, the less confident you get, because you realize what you don't know. Mm. And then you become seasoned in it, and then you start to climb, and then they call it sustainability. So you're not doing this in your journey. You're floating like this, you know, and hopefully up and to the right. Well, should look the same spiritually. You know, if you feel like your spiritual journey is, you know, just a graph that looks like that, there's something that needs to be addressed, and it's probably the pull between godly wisdom and worldly wisdom, mm-hmm. godly wisdom and worldly wisdom. And you know, like we said, I call it the trampoline, you know, that's the church. The church in discipleship is to stop you from crashing. I think it's okay. I think it's actually a healthy thing to go high zeal, you know, when you first get saved, because how could you not? Like, you get saved from everything. You think about the woman at the well, and she figures out who Jesus is and gets so excited. And it says that she goes and tells everyone. She goes, you got to come and see this guy. He tells me everything that I've ever done, but no condemnation there, you know? And she's like super excited. And the interesting thing is all of Jesus's followers are there, right? And they were sent out to go get food, you know, probably really angry that Jesus made them stop in the Samaritan town. It's like you're driving through all these nice towns on vacation, and dad wants to stop at the ghetto area at the 7-Eleven or whatever to buy food. You're like, but there was a Chick-fil-A right over there. And so they're probably like frustrated and scared because they're Jews, and you know, it's a lot of tension there. And then they come upon Jesus, and she's so excited to tell everyone, and she's telling these mature believers, and that had to have done something to them when they were sitting there with him, you know, like, well, you know, what happened here? You know, this despised Samaritan, you know, is all excited to tell us, these Jewish dudes, about this guy that we already know about, you know, and why aren't we as excited? At one point, they probably were, you know, seeing all these miracles, seeing all this stuff happen. But that's why it's good to have new believers in your fellowship, because it restokes a flame in you, right? It's like a oxygen. But those who are stable should celebrate, but then also, hey, okay, sit down for a second. Let's figure this out together. And without that, that's when you see people fall off. That's, you know, they talk about the front door of the church in the back door of the church. I think a lot of people walk out the back of the door of the church, not because they get burned out, but because they burn out.
Yeah.
There's a difference between being burned out and burning out. It's like being burned out is being used and overworked and overstimulated, all these things, you know, like you probably experienced it. You've experienced it. Certainly, like you get into ministry and they're like, oh, you're good at this. Sweet. Oh, you're good at this too. Sweet. Oh, hey, grab those chairs over there. It's like, all right, before you preach, go clean this toilet, you know?
Yeah.
And you're like, and you're doing all this stuff. That'll be burned out. You'll be burned out by somebody else. But sometimes we just burn ourselves out to where it's like, I'm so excited. And then there's no substance. Mm-hmm. It's all emotion and fun. And then that's when you crash and burn at first sign of weakness, you know?
Yeah, I think because it kind of the graph that you were talking about on Sunday reminds me of, it's like the church growth graph or whatever, where it's typically like a bell curve, you know, where you have like growing, I can't think of it, like plateau, and then you have like whatever, and then you have death rattle, like, you know, basically the dying church. Well, you know, the idea is that you're going to go up, you're going to plateau, and then you are going to sink. But the question is, how do you then kind of curve that back and then shoot back up? Because like, that's kind of how I think about, you know, the relationship, like, yeah, it should not be like a sine wave, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. That's a sine wave. I think that is like a throwback right there. I haven't done math in forever. But you know, it shouldn't be like a sine wave where it's equal on both parts, but you are going to have these valleys. But the question is how do you turn it around to then go back up? And then the hope would be that your plateau is higher the next time than where you were.
Because
then
you
continue to grow. Yeah. And you're going to continue to grow. That doesn't mean, you know, you shouldn't look at anyone in the church, you know, even no matter how spiritual they are, and go, they must never have doubt. They must never have whatever, because mm-hmm. they do. And I feel like sometimes the further you get is the bigger the wall is sometimes, you know, so mm-hmm. like, or the bigger the giant, like it's like, well, yeah, God was faithful then, he'll be faithful now, but this thing looks way bigger than it was, you know, than what I dealt with last time or whatever. And so I think it's that you never want to get yourself back down to a place of like despair. Mm-hmm, you want to get to a place mm-hmm, of mm-hmm. like, okay, let's turn this around. Let's evaluate where I'm at and then shoot back up and continue to grow that way. You know, we've talked about before, like the lifelong learner, mm-hmm. like you should never get to a place where you believe that you are the best or, you know, we've had that very large thing about John Mayer popping off on Instagram, but
yeah, the little sermon illustration.
But you know, if you watch interviews of John Mayer, he is one of the best guitarists of our generation.
He's also one of the most hated.
Yeah, but he also would not say that. He would say like, I've got so much to learn. I've got so many more things that I don't know. And I think that that's the idea that you were talking about. Like, you know, you get to this point where you're almost like, yes, I know a lot, but that doesn't mean that I know everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that too actually motivates us to grow and motivates us to be better, and become more wise, because we realize, hey, I don't know everything, and I can learn something from even somebody younger than me or more inexperienced, because my faith doesn't look the same as theirs. And maybe you've forgotten the childlike faith where you just, you know, like I can tell my kids anything and they believe me.
Yeah.
But I can tell my kids anything and they believe me,
right?
You know? So it's like,
yeah, there's a responsibility.
Yeah. Like I can tell them anything and they'll believe me. And that might be a positive thing and whatever, and something that's true, but I can also lie to them and they would believe it because they don't know any different.
That's why it says in 1 Timothy, to be a worker worthy of the call, rightly dividing the word of truth. because some of these new believers are eager to hear, eager to learn. And it's so easy to lead people into the wrong category, you know, lead them astray with your words. If you yourself are not dedicated to study, you yourself are not dedicated to understanding the things of God. When somebody says like, why do bad things happen to good people? And you're just like, oh, maybe there's sin in your life. And then they're like, oh no. And then, they like put that deep in their brainstem. And then every time something bad happens, it goes, oh, it's because of my sin. It's like, well, there's no condemnation in Christ. Like, that's not a good way to look at that. You know, we live in a fallen world and things go wrong and things are bad, but God is faithful and he will not allow you to be tempted beyond your ability to withstand. He will not, you know, you could quote scripture to them to show them. It's like, it's going to be this a little bit. But the drastic moves depend on how many people are around you. The downward turn will be a lot less drastic if you have more spiritually mature, godly people to say, oh, you know what, actually, you know, let me help you along on that. But if you don't, you're left to your own device, and it's like, it's almost the blind leading the blind, you know, if you don't know, or ChatGPT leading the blind, you know, it's like, what do? Go to Google, and everybody's arguing about this subject, you know, it's like, I was looking at a post by the Honest Youth Pastor, and it got a lot of pushback. I'm going to try to find it here. If you don't follow him, he's pretty funny. He actually shifted he used to do like memes and stuff. And now he's doing more like theological content. Cause I think, he said, it's incredible how many Christians, especially those with pastor in their bio, have very little, demonstration of the fruit of the Spirit and what they say and do. And then he says, where does he post a lot? He says, one of the issues with young Christian men is they would rather be discipled by based X accounts rather than the elders in their own church. They perceive strongly worded tweets as virtuous while ignoring the wisdom of the godly men in their local church. That's the danger of going it alone. Who do you believe and who do you listen to? I have no problem like with like podcasts and YouTube videos and TikToks and stuff like that. The problem is they put the phone down and you never see them. You are not witnessing anything in their life to show fruit, like you said. You're just seeing glitz and glamour and pithy phrases and things like that. You don't see fruit. I think point in case, you brought up the sermon illustration that was on Instagram. Everybody assumed, not everybody, maybe a handful of people. There's hundreds of thousands of people that have watched it and they liked it. So, but there's a handful of people that assume that the church bought an entire guitar rig just for a sermon illustration, right? And they're so up in arms and angry about this because all they're looking through is one little tiny lens. They don't see the, like, oh, that guy just owned that guitar. Like,
yeah, if you guys had that guitar. If you guys didn't know, according to Instagram, we're a mega church. So,
somebody put, shared it and said, something like mega churches are gross or something like that. And I'm like, we're not a mega church.
We are far from mega church.
Yeah. I mean, we're just, you know, we're just doing good stuff. You know, we're trying to do good quality. But the same could happen on the adverse. You might be looking at somebody that is looking like they're saying really great things. Looks like wisdom, but they're not showing it by the way they live, but you have no opportunity to see the way they live. That's why it's so important to be plugged into a local community, because then he says, you know, wisdom that is not from God is jealousy, all those kind of things that is pervasive in our society.
I think also to point that out, which we've talked about this a little bit, I think on a few episodes, you know, like the idea of like mentorship and things like that. I think too, it takes the older people in the church, you know, like our age older, to say, you know, I am going to intentionally you know, get in someone's life and say, like, I want to talk to you. I want to intentionally be there with you through your spiritual growth. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of times those people aren't going to ask. They're not necessarily going to be like, hey, could you mentor me? Like, they don't do that. But if you right. say, hey, I'd love to grab coffee with you. Like, yeah, I'd love to do that. And then mm-hmm. you build this relationship, and then not only do they get to watch you grow and watch how you live your life, but then they also get that, that teacher relationship, you know, where, they're learning because they see what you do, but they also know you, they know who you are. So they know, but then on top of that too, they also know that you struggle. They also mm-hmm. know that you're dealing with things too. Mm-hmm. And then on the flip side, a lot of times we forget with those like mentor-mentee relationships, the mentee can give the mentor just as much, you know, as the mentor can. And so sometimes things come out of the mouth of the person you are teaching or discipling that will be like, whoa, like mm-hmm. I never thought about it that way. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You bring up such a good point. And it even says, I just looked it up, in Romans, you know, don't just pretend to love others, actually love them. Mm. That's a big piece of what you're just saying right there. I think some people will take people on as projects, and that person thinks that you're taking them on as a friend. Mm-hmm. But once you feel like you've kind of hit the plateau of the project, you move on to the next, and now that person feels like they've lost a friend, you know? This really has to be kind of an ongoing, you know, turning over. And there needs to be an understanding that, I think that's why Paul says this, you know, don't just pretend to love others, because it's easy for us to be like, just taking on projects, just taking on people as like, I'm going to build this. You know, you're not, you're discipling. And what is the root word for disciple is discipline. And what are we disciplined to? The Word of God and the Holy Spirit and the teachings of Christ. And this has been a big buzzword probably in the last 10 years. It's like, I remember at Harvest, I was in Sunday night service and we were doing a lot of stuff. And one of the administrative pastors came up and said, hey man, okay, what you're doing there, really good. We see this. We want you to build a discipleship program here at the church. And I was like, dude, I'm like just Forrest Gumping here. Like, I don't know what I'm doing. Like, we're just loving people and doing stuff. And I had to go back and think of like discipleship program. Like, there's no program. That's assuming that people are going to be a disciple of Bobby, Adam, mm-hmm. Raymond, you know, Brad, Jason, Greg, Butch. We need to, at that base level, understand this above anything else. You're not a disciple of anyone but Jesus Christ. You are a disciple of Christ. You are disciplined to him. When we're making disciples, we're not taking on disciples of our own. We're not bringing them along in our philosophy and our faith. We are helping them be disciplined to Christ. We're a little bit stronger, so we'll spot them and get them to get that weight up a little bit. But you're not trying to shape their body, your spiritual body, to look like yours, especially not mine. You don't want to. Chris Gibble. You want to look like him. That's the dude you want to look like.
Iron Man.
Trust me. So we need to be careful of that. You know, you're not discipling. You're helping people be discipled to Christ.
Well, and I don't know if you did it intentionally or not, but you just made a great analogy of the spotter. Because the idea is not that you're standing at the end of the bench lifting it for them. Uh-huh. You are there in case they drop it. Mm-hmm. Like I was like, I mean, you were just talking and it just flew out, but I'm like, it's not, you're not lifting it for them. Mm. Like they're lifting the weight.
Yeah, but you have to, right?
But you're there if they get too weak to grab it and to hold on and to help.
Yeah.
You know, like.
And maybe take some weights off. Wow, dude. And it's like.
Good job.
Well, and it's like, you know, like there's a tendency because I forget what the fallacy is called. It's like the fallacy of competence or something like that, where it's like you become so competent in something that you can't explain rudiments to other people because you're so well versed in that thing. So like if somebody wants to learn guitar or whatever music, I can't. It's so frustrating to me to be like, just look, or whatever. That's how it sounds. Whatever. It's so frustrating, you know, it's somebody that's so good at their craft that they've forgotten how it is to not be good at their craft.
I actually dealt with that at Blackburn. One of my professors, mathematics professor has a doctorate degree in theoretical mathematics. So like ridiculous. So he was teaching calculus. And like a lot of times when people would ask questions, it was like you could see him like physically like turning his gears going, how can I explain this?
Yes. Yeah.
You know, where it's like this is algebra to me, you know, like, and yeah, it's the same, you know, like I've been asked before with drums. It's like, hey, how do you get your arms and legs to work separately? I'm like
this.
I'm like, I don't know. Like it just happens. Yeah. Like, and then it's like,
side note, you had this fill on Sunday. It just reminded me of this. First of all, the band was outrageously good on Sunday. Just like so pro. It was like what song was it? Dang it. I don't even know anymore. But you had it was a fill into a snare flam. And I was like, that's tasty.
I don't know what it was.
It was like, and it was like just lagged and then in, I don't know.
Hmm. Cool.
You know what I mean?
But yeah, I mean, it's stuff like that where you're just like, and then it makes you think like, was I just like born being able to do this? You know, like,
right.
Like, and you know, it's like, I mean, with guitar, it's like, how do I think about chords on this hand, but also like strumming on this hand, like, especially when you're talking about like finger picking and things like that, cause they're really moving separately, you know, and you're like, you know, am I just genetically able to do that? Like, cause sometimes it's like, I mean, if you can't do it, like, I don't know. Like, can you learn how to do that? I don't know.
Well, the funny thing is at one point you learn to do it and they call it limb independence, right? Like when you're playing drums, cause you got one thing going like this and the other thing's doing something different. And then the kid, you know, and some guys are nuts. Like some guys can go like 6/8 in one tempo and then like polyrhythms, all this stuff. I don't know how.
That like Russian or German dude on TikTok. I can't remember what his name is. It's like Sergio or Sergey Blablady, like something like that. He's crazy. Like he'll be doing like four different polyrhythms on each. I'm like
The guys with the pins that do like the pin thing.
Yeah.
Like, and then like I saw one guy, he was playing drums and he made it sound like latency, but it was like actually just him playing. It was like it was like,
jeez, man.
And so it sounded like natural reverb, but it was actually just him playing. It was the weirdest thing. But yeah, like the limb independence, you're not thinking about the limb independence. It's just there. It's like this muscle memory thing that happens all, and it's all just kind of going, it's going all good. So, you know, in the body of Christ, there's limb independence, you know, this guy's teaching, this guy's giving, this guy and this girl's over here doing that and the other, and everybody's doing it and they're not having to think about it. It's just stepping into what God's called them to do. And then in comes a new believer. And they look and like, wow, they're so proficient at teaching. Wow, they're so like generous. I don't know how to be that generous. Yeah. Oh, they're so hospitable. How are they so nice? And you're like, I don't fit, you know. But then it's like, that's why it said in Hebrews, many of you should become teachers by now.
Yeah.
Many of you should be taking along apprentices in the faith.
Yeah, but I didn't start that way. You know, that's the, like, I feel like But I feel like too, like talking about the, you know, like limb independence, I feel like that happens too, like spiritually as well, you know, where you, like there are things that you just brush off because you've been here before, you know?
Yeah. That's true.
You know, and, but then, you know, so like from a drum perspective, there are times where I feel like something will come up and, you know, be like, oh, can you do that? And it's like, honestly, no, like that's way too hard. Like that, that's not, you know, that's not something I can just do. Or, you know, for me, like I can read piano music and I can play the piano, but that doesn't mean that I can sit there and read the music and play the piano. Like I would have to sit there and hit each note and keep going until eventually I would kind of know what I'm doing. And then I could probably go back and play it.
But you get a middle C and you're like,
yeah,
C,
but that doesn't mean,
E.
yeah.
Yeah.
Like in music, you know, there's something called sight reading where you literally just hand you a piece of music and you just play it, you know?
So weird to me.
And so like for, like I help with the high school band, like that's something that we want to see is something that is, if you can sight read a piece, that doesn't mean you're going to get it right the first time, but if you can sit there and you can sight read it and play through it, like you're pretty good, you know, but that doesn't mean you're an expert at that specific song.
Yeah.
Now there are some people that are incredibly talented and can do that. Like you could hand them a piece of music and they will instantly be able to play it. Or, you know, there are people that they can hear it and play it, which is even crazier.
Yeah.
But you show all of these different levels of skill and these different levels of, you know, there are people that can hear it and play it. There are people that can see it and play it. And then there are people that it takes time for them to learn more and be able to, you know, be able to play it. And that's okay. All of those things are okay. But then like you might be really good at guitar, but if I hand you a saxophone, you're going to be like, what the heck is this thing? Do you blow air into it? Like, you know, like,
yeah.
And so it's like all of these people have these different, you know, are we talking about spiritual gifts?
We just talked about it on Wednesday.
Yeah. Oh, it was on Wednesday.
Yeah.
Okay.
My wife called. No,
yeah. But you know, it's like this thing of like, we have, you know, all these different pieces, of things, which kind of goes along with this wisdom. Like we have areas of spirituality that we are more versed in than we are in others. And so that doesn't mean that we're all going to be experts. That doesn't mean we should all be teachers because we aren't necessarily, you know, we aren't gifted in that way, but I'm, you know, some of us are also not gifted to watch children like Bobby.
It's funny. His wife keeps like trying to sign him up for children's ministry. Like he's in worship.
Yeah.
I think he can wash kids afterward.
Yeah. But you know, it's like, we all like, there are certain people that you probably shouldn't put in the kids' room because they just don't want to be with kids and that's not their thing, but they are incredible at serving or incredible at giving. Like, and so that, you know, this conversation of like wisdom, it's like this, like we are all wise in our own capacities.
It's like Spurgeon. I think I mentioned a message. His quote is, you know, wisdom is the right to use knowledge. Knowledge in and of itself is not wisdom. Wisdom is the right to use knowledge. You can know all kinds of things, but if you don't apply it correctly, it's kind of pointless. It's like, oh yeah, I know how to fix this problem with this tire. Get a new tire. It's like, oh, maybe you just need to pump up the tire. You know?
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, you know, generally the thing, but it's like wisdom is knowing how to use the knowledge and stuff. So that's, you know, and so it's interesting that, so he comes out, it's just interesting the flow of the letter, because he comes out of this, you know, not many of you should become teachers, all these things that happen when you try to use your influence incorrectly and when you open your mouth, and then if you're wise, be careful and guard against worldly wisdom. Then he, in chapter 4, which we're getting into on Sunday, tomorrow, he takes a turn and goes, so why are you guys fighting? What's the deal here? Stop being little punks. Just get along.
Yeah.
And that's the crux of what he talks about for like almost the entire chapter. In chapter 4 is just like, get along, be unified. It was the last prayer of Jesus before he went to the cross, was that his body would be unified. So like, let's go. And so I haven't titled the message yet. I was like torn between like something nice, like family reunion. Mm. But then I kind of want like something funny, like Fight Club.
It's funny though, because family reunions can be very different.
Yes. Yeah.
Like, a family reunion could be incredibly happy and everyone's singing songs, or there could be a fight. Yeah. Like,
I feel like
Thanksgiving dinner.
Sometimes I feel like if I can like title the message, the point of the message in a weird way, it'll all just kind of work out. So I'm like, I spend way too much time thinking of a 2-word, 3-word title sometimes, but sometimes it's like, you should know exactly what it means, you know, like drop the mic. Okay. I know what that means. You know? So maybe.
I mean, I think family reunion could also be disunity as well. So like, I think that's
get together and fight.
That's a great title. Yeah.
And maybe it's on my mind, 'cause I was just like, had a family reunion, you know,
maybe call it Family Reunion Fight Club.
Family Feud.
Oh, yeah.
Family Feud. That might be the more apt way to... Family Feud might be the title, because that's...
Do you think you could grow a mustache before Sunday? Hey, don't copyright us.
Yeah, give you a copyright check. Yeah, we keep getting that.
Steve. Yeah,
survey says... Go. Dude, there's some funny, like, you've ever watched those Family Feud things?
So, it was funny. We used to go to, it was a Quest Community Church down in Lexington, Kentucky. And one of the guys that was a worship leader down there was actually on Family Feud. And he ended up, he said, what was it? I think it was like, what's your favorite kind of suit or something like that? And he buzzes in and goes, chicken noodle! And so like, it's, you know, it's one of the, like the classic, compilation clips now.
Chicken noodle.
Yeah. So, 'cause he thought it said soup.
And there's a suit.
Yeah. Chicken noodle suit. Yeah.
Well, you know, you could just see Steve Harvey like going, all right, is it chicken noodle?
Yeah.
You know, what a.
Yeah, he did. I mean, he definitely did his like face, the like Steve Harvey, like, are you dumb?
I love Steve Harvey so much. He's so funny.
But
he's hilarious. He's the best host for that show.
Absolutely. Yeah. The disdain in his face when somebody screws up.
When somebody says something dumb or whatever.
Somebody, I can't remember. The dumbest thing. What was the one? It was like, it was something like things you don't say to your wife or something like that. And it was like a group full of men and they're all going,
they're not gonna say
like, it. I'm not gonna. Yeah, it's like, I'm not gonna answer that question.
That's funny. Well, tomorrow show up, Cross Church, 9 a.m. for Family Feud. Actually, don't show up for Family Feud.
Yeah,
show up for the Word of God and fellowship, and possibly, I think it's gonna have to be called Family Feud.
Yeah, I think
after that's all great. This talk, it has to be called Family. So, title of the message is Family Feud.
So, yeah, we'll see you tomorrow. We're excited about church because, you know, church.
I love church. There will be water, I think.
Yeah, unless another water main breaks.
Yeah.
Yeah. Pray that there's not a water main that breaks.
Yes.
Okay.
Goodbye.
We'll catch you on the flip side.